I would like to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today, the Arakwal people of the Bundjalung Nation, and pay my respects to the elders past, present, and emerging. Are you ready to win at the game of life? Well, throw out that rule book and get down to the business of being the best and most authentic version of you. Welcome to the Human Design Podcast. We're changing the rules around success, abundance, purpose, love, and life, where we're creating a planet where everyone can thrive in a world that loves and supports each other. I'm your host, Emma Dunwoody, a qualified master coach, human design expert, podcaster, and entrepreneur that is living the life of my dreams, breaking all the rules while doing it, making a huge impact, and living my design and manifesting miracles on the daily. Join me as I break down and simplify everything you need to live in alignment with your human design, teach you how to recondition your unconscious mind for greatness, and to take back your power so you can manifest your heaven on earth and serve the rest of the planet at the same time. It's time to give up the fear and step into your highest potential, to reach for the stars, to know and live your greatness. It's what you deserve, and it's what the planet really needs from you. So buckle up and enjoy the ride.
This is your monthly reminder to go to the show notes and check out the Body Graph Chart software. I know you've heard us talk about this before, so I'll keep this very short and very sweet. But if you want to know the tool that we've used to bring in over 20,000 new leads and five figures in passive revenue into our business, then go check it out. It's amazing. Stop sending people away to other people's websites to get their human design chart. Instead, use this tool to put it on your own website. You won't regret it. And use the code Human Design Podcast, all lowercase, all together, Human Design Podcast, to get 50% off for a year.
Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. There is one thing I can absolutely guarantee about today's episode is that we are going to have so much fun. You're going to laugh along, and I'm sure you're going to learn so much about some really, really important subjects like anxiety, ADHD, and a lot of these things that we're seeing turn up in adults and a lot of kids these days. But before we do, welcome Angie Lee to the podcast.
I'm so excited. Yay. I'm really happy to be here. It's so funny. Whenever I talk to human design people, they always freak out that I'm a reflector, because they're like, there's only like 1% of you. But I'm always like, I think my mom doesn't know what time I was born. So I don't know, but who knows? I'm so excited to geek out with you on it.
So I love this. So listeners, Angie's a 6'2 reflector. And I love this because one of the things that I do, we very briefly before I hit record, I just quickly checked your sidereal chart. Because this is using sidereal astrology versus tropical astrology. And I know in my sidereal chart, although there's no way I'm not an emotional, manifesting generator, in my sidereal chart, I'm a reflector and I have an obsession with you guys, like obsession. So for me, I was kind of like, I wonder what that, it's almost like a shadow of it. And I would actually challenge you because a lot of the work that I do out in the world, especially with reflectors, is I blow up this bullshit myth that they're these, you know, fluffy people that sit around and can't do anything and can't make up their mind and don't know who they are, which is total bullshit. And a lot of the reflectors that I know that are really, really in alignment are literally lighting the world on fire. So I'm really excited to have you like challenge it and talk about it.
Yeah. But
before we get there, also to say, just quickly, because I don't think I said it, you're also the cross of dominion. So what that means is that a large part of
I need to write this down.
yeah.
You have to tell. I'll re-listen to it or tell me later. I'm like, I don't
exactly.
know. I need to know.
Re-listen to it.
Yeah.
I can do you a session. Don't worry about it. We can do it, you and me, one-on-one. But you're the cross of dominion. So a lot of that is about like finding solutions. And I'm going to talk more about listening to your mum talk about you. And like, she's like, you could always find a way. And I'm like, yeah, there it is, the cross of dominion. But it's also like its pet name that Ra used to call it was the cross of uprising. So I think we just have this myth about reflectors that they don't have energy and they're kind of wishy-washy, but actually a lot of what I've heard and seen, I think there's potentially a lot of reflector in you, which is really exciting.
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting because whenever I've heard the description of like manifesting generators or whatever, like I heard somebody the other day reading a entire breakdown of my friend who I'm very similar to of Manifesting Generator. I listened to it and I was like, oh, that is me. Like, she's describing me. And then she read the Reflector one and I was like, not only do I don't think that's me, I don't want to be one. Like, I don't resonate with that at all. So that's why it's always been hard for me, because I'm like, I don't feel like I think it's more so I just don't want to be a reflector. Like, I feel like it sounds exhausting and horrible. And I do feel like I don't want to have like all these like open centers or whatever. I want to feel like I'm, and if I am one and this has all been, then I'm not working like one. I'm definitely working like a generator or whatever. So that's where I'm just like so confused, because I'm like, what's real? What's not? I don't know. I mean, again, at the end of the day, it's like there's truth in everything a little bit, right? Who knows? But I definitely feel like I'd be interested in hearing how it can be shown differently, because the few reflectors that I know, I have like two or three friends that are actually, we're all so different, obviously. So, then people I meet who are into human design, they'll always say when they meet me, they're like, no, you're not. Like, they don't believe it either. So it's like, it feels so it doesn't feel congruent at all. So I don't know. So I don't know. My mom could have been drunk when she had me and said the wrong time, you know, who knows?
Oh my God. I love that.
I want to know about human design. If it's legit, then wouldn't every baby that was born at the same time in the same place right next to you at that hospital, wouldn't we all be the same?
Oh my God, I love this question so much. This is such a good question. Yeah, good question. You know why?
And if they are, I need to find these people who were born at St. David's Hospital on Downers Grove at 5:17 p.m. on March 6th. You know, I got to find them, because like then we would be the same.
But this is the thing, right? I love this question. It's so cool. And it's something that I talk about so much in my community. Yeah. And the guy who channeled the information, Ra, he has this great quote.
It's from this guy. Okay. I didn't know who started
this guy. Well, he didn't start it. He channeled it. So 8 days he was in Ibiza. He definitely was, you know, experiencing the, local fare, as it may be. He channeled all of this information. And if you think about it, what human design is Western astrology, the Hindu chakra system, the Chinese I Ching, and the Kabbalah tree of life, all mathematically mapped together. So there is no human brain, no matter what they're doing, that can do that in 8 days. Like, that's just not a thing. Like, it would take us hundreds of years to actually mathematically map those things together. Mm. So, he channeled the information. But anyway, so Ra says, like, imagine or think about the Shakespeare play Romeo and Juliet. Mm. How many people have played Juliet? Thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands. Yeah. But at the end of the day, no one has played Juliet exactly the same way as anyone else. Nobody. Mm-hmm. So that's what human design is like. And it's not actually, like, there's over 2 billion potential expressions of the chart. So it's actually not like we're going to have a chart that's really similar to someone else unless we're a twin. Like, it'd be very rare to have the same chart. But I love all of your questions, because I think, and again, listening to your mom, you're very reflectory, and you were one of the reflectors that were parented by someone who intuitively knew how to parent a reflector. So it sounds like, and of course I could be wrong, but just listening to a podcast is that she didn't put you in a box. Yeah. She was like, who do you want to be today? What do you want to do? Do you want to change your room? Sure. Change your room. Oh, you want to change your room again? Sure. Change your room. Because you have this constant moving, this constant fluidity, this constant ability to ebb and flow and change. And ultimately, if you are surrounded by people who are high energy, then you're going to be surfing that high energy all the time. And I think one of the things we need to be really conscious of is, you know, at the end of the day, does it feel resourceful to you? Does it feel resourceful to you to be doing all the things and, you know, having all the different businesses and doing the podcast and creating a new product and speaking on stage? Like, does that feel like you have energy, or does it feel like it's depleting your energy? Because we have to make sure, again, we don't put ourselves into a box.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know. I feel a lot of this, I feel like, I don't know if it's just ADD. Like, I need stimulation. I need different things. I do feel like I'm very sensitive to the world and like collectively what's going on. Like, I kind of always can like feel like I can feel that. I think, again, but that could also, this is where it gets so confusing, because a lot of these traits are synonymous with ADD, where we have a high level of sensitivity, which allows us to understand humans pretty deeply. And so that's why I think I've been able to be good at marketing, comedy, these things that you need to understand humans in order to do it. And so I've always thought it was just ADD, but yeah, I don't know. I haven't looked enough into it. Yeah.
What I would challenge there is like what you're
presuming. But maybe I'm not ADD. Maybe I'm just a reflector.
But here's the thing, right? And I love this. So the presupposition in what you just said is that, well, I have ADD and then I'm a reflector. But what I would challenge is, no, I think that underneath you're the reflector and you've found the different ways to express this energy. And ADD is just one of them. You know, it's the same as like manifesting generators. Like there's a lot of manifesting generators that get diagnosed as ADHD, right? And that makes sense because they have this ability, this superpower to focus on multiple things at once. And we live in an environment that says, no, you can't do that. That's wrong. And they have lots of energy and they're expected to sit in a schoolroom and they can't. So I actually think that in my opinion, and because, you know, like I've studied human behavior for 20 years, I think that it's the framework of your energy is your human design. And then all the other things kind of come on top. It's like, well, how am I going to express this? You know, unconsciously. We don't consciously think, well, how am I going to express this?
How would somebody, what do you do if somebody, like I'm interviewing you now, what do you do if somebody doesn't want to be their human design?
So again, another great question. And it's something for me, that I experienced. Like when I first learned about human design, I was like, I don't want to be a line three. I want to be a projector. And now I've worked with thousands of people. The thing that I see the most and the thing that was my experience was that I was, these were the specific areas I was resisting being me. I was resisting the truth of who I am. So what I would say to you is, well, what specifically don't you like about being a reflector? And then the next question would be, well, where are you resisting that in yourself?
I think I'm at a point in my life now where I used to like it, but now I just turned 34 last week. I feel like now in my early 30s, I really want more of, I want more clear, directive, focused energy. I don't want to be so flighty and open and like boppy. And I don't want to be that. That's not a, it's not a quality that's been serving me. It's not helpful. It's not, it's been more hurtful than helpful now in my life. So that's where I'm like, this has to change. Like I don't, all these qualities of this, they sound great on a piece of paper in a book, but like, how is that sustainable for a career? Or I want a family like soon. So how, how is that going to work? So that's where I'm like, okay, if I am one, like I need tips on like, how do I like double down and leverage it the best I can, and work with it? Because to me, it sounds like someone who's like really flighty and like doesn't even have a job. And like, I don't want to be that way. And I think sometimes I can just go into that a little bit and like be spacey and flighty with it. And like, oh, I'm just feeling all of it. What am I feeling today? And oh, what am I feeling tomorrow? And it's like, that's not an attractive quality in myself. It was cute when I was younger, but now it's not as much so. Do you know what I mean?
It's like,
okay, but I need to get shit done. Or like, I actually want to do this or I want to pursue this. And so, and instead that will just cause overwhelm. So I'm like, how do I take it in a way where it doesn't cause overwhelm and it feels clear and productive and it feels good, you know?
Oh my God. I love this so much.
I don't even know if that makes sense, but.
Oh my God. It makes perfect sense. And you're just speaking your design. I think one of the things also to understand is that potentially what you are resisting is the slowing down, is the actual, well, as a reflector, you are designed to take your time. That doesn't mean you have to be slow. That doesn't mean you have to be inactive, but you know, ADD has worked for you from a behavioral perspective. Like ADD is something, it's something that we learn, you know, as much as we don't feel like we do, we do. And as you go through this process, and obviously people are more, you know, they're, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, some people are more likely to experience ADHD or ADD or depression or any of these things. Than others, but at the end of the day, it is something that we do. It's a behavior that on some level works for us on an unconscious level. You know, it's called secondary gain. So a large part of what you're talking about is, again, your design. You're a line six and you're in your 30s. So what you're doing now is you're like, wow, I did all this stuff up until 30. I had all of these experiences, and now I know like they've been, some have been great, some have not been so great. Yeah. And now is a time that you're like, well, I need to create wisdom from this. And you're actually telling me the wisdom that you're already creating. And that is this can't continue. There's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
And because now between 30 and 50 for you, this is all about the creation of wisdom. This is a time as a line six that you'll be like, okay, now I might think about settling down. Now I might think about grounding myself into a family or all of those things. So you're actually exactly where you need to be. And from a behavioral perspective, and this is why I actually created transformational human design, so putting all of the transformational coaching pieces in there too, is like now you need to trust you. You need to trust, right, now's the time I'm actually going to find the wisdom where I can slow down and I can find more consistency and I can actually, you know, focus a little bit longer on certain things. So
career-wise, do you advise reflectors? Do they actually thrive sometimes better when, like, I guess the quote would be almost like less is more, like they do better when there's like one project they're working on at a time? Or I'm just trying to figure out career-wise how it feels good, but it doesn't feel, it just feels good. Like it's not overwhelming. It's not stagnant, because I've been on both sides of the spectrum and they don't work. I've been on crazy hustle busy in my 20s. And then I went to totally the other side of the spectrum and that was not good either. I went crazy. And so I'm like, where's the, you know, like there needs to be momentum, but then it's like, is it more about doing less better? I don't know. I almost can't. It's so not part of who I am, because I see myself as so multi-passionate, but at the same time, I have recently been thinking like, I like the idea of less is more, because I don't know, just like a little bit more simplicity and stuff. So,
and that in itself, like what you've just done there, you've actually, again, spoken your design, and it's your, what we call your core talent. It's also your core wound. And your core talent is insight. And what you've just said there is like, well, there's your insight. Your insight is, okay, less is more. So how specifically can I create less is more? And this multi-passionate thing, if we're talking about it from a human design perspective, like ultimately a manifesting generator like me, I am multi-passionate. So what that means is I'm going to want to do one or two things. So,
one I want to be, man.
Right. So for me, you know, I have a very successful business and podcast and all those sort of things. And I'm also very successful in a sport. So there's two very significant things that I am doing. Now, the difference between my multi-passionate
and you're a mom as well, right?
I am a mom. Like I've got a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Okay, they're grown up. Okay, I was like, how do you do all
this? I'm like, well, I did all. Yeah. I've done all the things with them being babies. Wow. I've just done it, and it was like. But I also did depression and panic disorder, and you know, like all the things. I've burnt out like three times. Like, I've learned the hard way. But again, I am the line. I'm a line three. It's kind of again how I'm designed. For you, so I'm multi-passionate, but for you, you're actually like ebbing and flowing. So the difference is that you might meet someone and go, oh my God, what you have, I want to create that. Or you might, have an experience of, you know, podcasting and you're like, oh my God, I got to do the podcasting thing. And for you as a reflector, you actually need to be just as good at letting go as starting new things. Because it's not about, you know, being multi-passionate. It's about doing the thing that feels good, correct, and aligned for you, and then being okay to keep moving when it's time to keep moving. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, do you have an example of a reflector that you think, like, that you know and what she's doing, you think it's working really well for her?
Yeah, so I know a couple, and I don't know if you'll know. Well, one of them, I'm pretty sure you won't know them, but you've got to go and check her out. Tiana Rose on Instagram.
That sounds so familiar.
Mm-hmm. Well, check her out. She actually did my mastermind, and she's a powerhouse, and she's got a real balance. The other reflector that I think is such a great example is Atara Valentine. Do you know Atara Valentine?
No, but I'm going to look them up, yeah.
So go and look him up as well. So he is another example of a really aligned reflector. So
doing one thing really well, or are they doing a bunch of things well? Like, are they at one thing during each season of life?
I love that. So they are doing, I would say they do one thing really well, and that is just being themselves. And the one thing that they do,
I hate
really
that
well,
answer. I know.
I know, but listen to me.
I get this all the time. Like, but what does that mean? What do I do?
But it's a reflector, right?
Yeah.
Being yourself is actually a challenge. Like, what the fuck does that mean? Because when I walk into this room, I'm this person. When I'm over here, I'm that person. Like, don't tell me to be me. But it's like finding the consistency in your chart. So for you, the consistency, just for example, is your profile. Let's start with your profile. So right now, one of the big consistencies for you is that you are a visionary and you're in your wisdom creation stage. So it's this time of like, well, I don't want to go on this way. So what does that mean? As a line six, and you also have a line six in your core talent. So that means that what you're here to do in the world, to give to the world, is your vision. One of the things that is important for you is to be able to stay in that visionary place, because when we think about business and success, we think about the ultimate product. You know, like, you sent me these awesome bedtime gummies and CBD oil, and oh my God, they are fantastic. Like, I'm addicted and you can't get them in Australia. But anywho, and like, that's all well and good to do the thing, but it's about allowing yourself to continue to, where was I going with that? Oh no, so back to your core talent. I've got an undefined head in Ajna, so all of a sudden it goes la 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 off over there. So the core talent for you is more about, you think that your superpower is creating the product, but it's not. Your superpower is the insight that the world needs this. And the line six in that insight is like, because I see a world where dot dot dot. So
yes, that's one of my gifts for sure. I'm really good at that. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's the thing. That's actually your business. That's your talent. That's the thing that's always going to be there. That's the thing that's always going to be at the core. It's just that we're taught that it's like, well, am I a podcaster or am I a speaker? Or, you know, and things like with ADD, for example, especially through that, the whole diagnosis process, which is important. You know, a lot of us just, I know I hear so many people say, oh my God, as soon as I got diagnosed, it was like a whole weight off my shoulders.
Yeah.
But what also comes with that is a belief system and an identity. So you actually also condition yourself into that behavior. So like, ultimately, when you have a vision of what you want to create, so what I'm hearing, and I could be wrong, is stability. You want to have a little bit more stability, and you want to be able to just, you know, like, what's just come in intuitively is like, just calm the fuck down, you know, just calm the fuck down. And you're exactly in that space. So listening to the podcast with your mom, she kept saying, like, you know, you couldn't be told, you know, you couldn't be told, you couldn't be told, you just did your own thing. And I was like, oh my God, she has to be a line two. And this is the thing, like with a line two, they don't like authority. They don't like being told what to do. They don't fit into, you know, regular schooling. I have a line two. Both my kids go to Steiner school. He thrives in Steiner because he's like, no, I want to do it this way. And they're like, okay, do it this way. Do it the way you want to do it. Yeah. So he thrives. But line twos don't thrive in those environments because they're naturally talented. They don't know why they're good at the things they're good at. They're just good at it. And when they're allowed to just follow the things that they're good at, then their talents start to unfold. So ultimately, you're in this world that you're trying to fit into the box. You want to be a manifesting generator because that means it gives you permission to be the multi-passionate and do all the things. But there's so much in your design that says, you know what? You need to just slow down, pay attention to what's going on, nurture your natural talents, whatever they might be, you know, accept that this is going to ebb and flow. It's going to change because as reflectors, it will change. But what's never going to change is that you're a visionary and that you need to listen to your insights. You are here to help people break through. You know, when you talk about ADHD or anxiety, you're helping them break through that. When you're, you know, using comedy, you're helping people break through something. So it doesn't matter the modality. It's that you're always doing that thing. And being a line six, as you get older, you're just going to get wiser and wiser and wiser.
I hope so. I hope I go up this way, not as wise. I love this. This is so fascinating. I'm so curious to how that, well, I mean, you're making me realize, while I'm in this season of like I've done so many different things and now it's like, okay, what do I actually want to do? I think that's probably why I do like podcasting, because it allows me to stay in that visionary spot of giving information that I'm synthesizing, from the world or feeling or whatever. And then I'm like, okay, here's the tip or here's the thing or here's the story, you know? And I think that that's why that's always felt really good for me, is because it just, I don't know, it makes sense to be a communicator at least. Do you know what I mean? Because I think I'm taking in it all, I guess, because I'm open or whatever.
And it's absolutely true.
Yeah. And then I'm just so curious how it's going to show up as a mom too, right? Like, what do you think makes, you know, like being that way, being with being a mom, you know, it's like, how did that show up for you as a reflector?
But this is the thing, right? So, and again, this is what I think the beauty, it's like, because behavior is my background and I've worked with people for years trying to heal their, you know, childhood conditioning, right?
Yeah.
And the thing that I want you to understand is that you're perfect just as you are. Like, your mom hasn't got the time wrong. You're not meant to be, you know, the universe didn't get it wrong.
What if she was wrong by 5 minutes? Then I'd be a totally different.
and maybe, yeah, but I think the thing is, like, it's more the fact that you're so like, no, it's not me. Like, which really indicates from, like, from a behavioral perspective that, like, it probably is, you know? And as a mom, you'll be.
But wouldn't I resonate with it like everyone else does when they read theirs? They're like, oh, I heard it and it was me. And then I heard it. I was like, what does that mean?
But this is the thing, like, and maybe not, you know, maybe it is, maybe it's a time thing, but I would encourage you to be more, you know, you know, be more curious about it, because as a mum, like, and I think one of the things that I see, I'll get to the mum thing in a minute, but one of the things I see so much with reflectors is there is definitely more reflectors podcasting than like that whole 1%. It's not like 1% of podcasters are reflectors. I would love to know that statistic. I feel like there's quite a few reflectors that are podcasters. And I think it's because they are so passionate about, so like they talk to someone and they're like, oh my God, I want to do that thing. Oh no, actually I want to do that thing. Oh no, hang on. Actually, I want to do that thing. You know, like they just, and
oh my God, now I need to be an astronaut. I could interview an astronaut. I'm like, oh my God, I could go to the moon. But like, exactly. That's, I don't like that being that way is makes you go crazy. Cause that's like, not
but it doesn't go crazy. It's like, for me, like not being a reflector, I'm like, oh my God, you get to be a little bit of everything all the time. Like,
wait, don't you feel that way when you're talking to people?
No. Like, what? I talk to people and I love a conversation. I love it. I love a chat. I'm a da da da, all the things.
Oh.
But no, like I talk to people and I'm like, oh, tell me all about your story. I'm so curious. But no, I don't want to be a this or a, like astronaut. I definitely wanted to be an astronaut at one point. And I did as a kid, I wanted to be an archaeologist. So I've always kind of wanted to do those sort of things. But no, I don't feel that way. And I think that that's part of being a reflector is that
We're like a sponge, though. We're like a sponge. Yeah. But see, where I need more, I mean, more constitution is like what I'll do is I'll follow the sponge then. And then nothing gets done. That's not good. I need to be, you do not want to go be an astronaut. That's not, nope.
I see. So I love this, right?
Turn off the sponge.
Yeah. But, and here's the thing. You just have to decide over a month.
Yeah.
Give yourself a month. And do you still want to be an astronaut at the end of it? Because I'm tipping you don't. I'm tipping by that stage you probably wanted to be like a gardener, like a swimming coach, you know, like who knows. So it's going to like ebb and flow and shift and change. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen is that you're going to notice the things as aligned to your natural gifts are going to be reflected onto you. So people are going to say to you like, shit, Angie, I can just sit and talk to you. I can tell you everything. Or they're going to say, Angie, can you help me with this thing? You know, I'm experiencing ADD or anxiety. Can you help me with this thing? And they're actually projecting onto you as a line two, those natural talents that lie within you. So line twos can get really like, what the fuck am I meant to do? You know, they can all feel that way. And that's because they're just not paying attention to the projections. You're not paying attention to the things that people are calling out of you, because often they're the things that you're on the planet to do. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So good. So tell us a little bit about the journey. Like I love, like, how did you go from being little Angie Lee on top of the fridge? Because, by the way, that's a hilarious story that your mum told. And, oh, my God, I have to share a story with you and my son's going to hate me for it. But the chewing gum story, you know, your most embarrassing story, right?
Oh, my
gosh,
yeah. He did that?
No, worse. So he was about the same – no, he was about a year and a half old and we're sitting at a friend's barbecue And we had this dog that had bowel problems, and he'd gone and done this awful, disgusting thing, runny poo over in the corner. And my son walks over and literally puts his finger in it, puts it in his mouth. And I'm like it was all slow motion. And so I'm like, running, no, like trying to stop him from doing it. But I'm like, oh,
no,
my God.
Wait, how old
so
is he?
So you're chewing gum. I don't want to say so it doesn't purely identify which son it is, but he's between 12 and 16 now.
No, the son that did it, was he like under 5 years old when he did this?
Oh, yeah, he was like 18 months. He was really young.
Oh, okay. I was like, how old was he when he did this?
No, he was really, really young. But I was like,
oh, that's so gross.
Laughing my ass off because I'm like, yeah, I can one up the chewing gum story.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. That is so gross. And I'm so here for it. That's so funny.
Yeah, so cool. But tell us a little bit about the journey. I mean, you really have, you know, we've sort of alluded to, acted like an MG. But how do you get to where you are today? Like, what happened when you quit college and headed out into the world? And then ended up here with this incredible podcast, you know, presenting to 3,000 women, creating your own products. Like, how do you get there? Tell us a bit about that journey.
Yeah, I think I always knew that I didn't want to be in a box. And so I went to college because I think at the time I felt like, well, this is the only way to be successful is I have to get a fancy college degree and then go get a job. And I thought I wanted to be a nutritionist. And then I was in class and I found out that the rules and the pay kind of sucked. And so I was like, this is not the plan for me. And so what I did is I started a blog in college. I had no idea where it was going. I had no idea I was going to monetize in the online space. I just wanted to share health and wellness information with women. And so I was sharing the blog, and then that started to grow over time. And then I quit college. Thank God. That was like the best day of my life, is when I was free from homework ever again in my life and tests. Yeah. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I don't know what this online space thing is. This is 2010, 2011, but I felt like I could kind of anticipate, the visionary in me was like, this is going to be a
visionary.
Yeah. I was like, this is a thing. Like, people are going to, this is going to change commerce and connection forever. Like, this is going to be a thing. But my parents were like, I don't know. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to figure out how to make money online, like on the internet. This is going to be a thing. And so it started out with eBooks. And then I did a little bit of like brand deals here and there. And then I would do fitness meetups in Chicago where girls would come and we would do yoga and I would talk to them. And so everything was kind of centered around like me building this brand. And then I would do events, courses, coaching, and that started to really grow over the years. And I figured out ways to monetize it. And I was super scrappy. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was like, hey, people are following. They're loving this content. I love inspiring and helping women. So this is fun. And I just kept following the thing that felt fun and felt exciting to try out. And then that transitioned into women asking me, how did you monetize online? How did you start your own brand and business and quit college and be able to do this? And then, so then that became the show. Everything kind of transitioned into marketing, personal development, entrepreneurship. And then that's kind of transitioned into, I've always had a really big passion for comedy. And so I love creating funny videos and skits and doing that for brands. And so it's all kind of been this crazy story of all of it started from me quitting college and starting this blog, which then led to the podcast, Mike and I, my brother and I starting Soul, a physical product line, because I had the vision for that. I had the vision for that, the show, courses, so digital things, physical things, my live event. And so it's all just been from what feels exciting. I don't know if you know the Enneagram. You probably also know Enneagram, right?
Yep.
I'm a total 7. And so I'm really inspired by fun and joy and like what is going to be the thing that really lights me up. And so, yeah, I feel like Enneagram 7, ADHD and Reflector, putting that all together makes a very,
I love it. But you know what's really cool?
Crazy person.
About? Yeah. But it's great, right?
I want to be a manifesting generator, like Enneagram 3, you know, who's just like, let's go and goal focused. But I'm this weird, crazy sponge.
And that is fine. You know, like one of the things I'm always talking to my clients about all the time is like the number one thing we're always trying to change about ourselves is usually our superpower. So we're just expressing it through fear. You know, we're resisting it. We're pushing it. We're judging it. Yeah. We're putting it in our shadow. And you know, what's really cool about what you said is like, it's so reflectory, because what you were doing was you were following surprise and delight. So that's your signature theme as a reflector, surprise and delight. So when you're
oh, like I like to be surprised and delighted.
Yeah, because it's all about potential. So you see that the energetic potential in the world. So when human potential surprises and delights you, you're like, bring that shit on. Mm. But your not self theme is disappointment. So when you see unmet potential, you're like, oh, what a waste, you know?
Yeah.
So that's like you've created what you've created in a very reflector-like way. You're just following the surprise and delight.
Yeah, surprise and delight.
Right? I think that's cool. I always remember as a kid, like I used to have surprise and delight every morning. I mean, I'm not a reflector, but I wonder who I'll meet today. I wonder what I'll, conversations I'll have. Like, yeah. So, it sounds very reflectory to me.
Mm, wow. Surprise and delight. Yeah. I would definitely say it's, yeah, I guess I've called it like, like following the next exciting thing. I've considered, again, this is where like a lot of these are synonymous with ADD. Like ADD, we're very motivated by dopamine. What is dopamine? Yeah. Dopamine is surprise and delight, like something new, novelty. Yeah. So I get bored easily, which I don't love that quality. So I'm trying to figure out how to use it in a healthy way. Cause I find that that's not, I get confused with like, am I stopping this thing because I genuinely should move on to something else or because I'm just bored of it? You know what I mean? And like that,
well,
that
if it's both.
Having an assessment of that is, I think, really key. So,
yeah. And I think boredom is a really big thing because, again, like we're raised in a schooling environment to say, like, you know, boredom's a bad thing. You know, like boredom's actually a place where, you know, insight and creation come from, you know, like, you know, that's whenever true. My kids, when they were little, they're like, I'm bored. I'm like, great, go and work out, go and find something to do. Like, I'm not going to entertain you. I'm not going to give you something to do because that's what your brain did. Like when I was bored as a kid, you know, my friend and I went out in the backyard and, you know, went through the dirt and found old pieces of bathroom tile. And we're like, wow, what's this? What could this possibly be? So I think the whole boredom piece, it's a good indicator. I think from a behavioral perspective, we've got to be so conscious that we give negative connotations to things. Like what if ADD is your superpower, right?
Yeah.
What if that's actually your superpower? Your superpower, and again, this is very reflectory, is to focus on something for a short period of time, give your all to it, and then move on to something else. And then, you know, what would that look like as a business structure? Well, that would look like you stay as the visionary. So that's something that I've created in my business because, you know, when I was building the business and doing all the back end stuff, like I was bad at it, I hated it, but I knew I had to do it, so I just did it. So I've created a business where I have the space and freedom to be the visionary as well. So, you know, one of the things I'd say to you is like, challenge that. Like ADD is your superpower. So if it's a superpower, if you look at it as a superpower, how would you use it differently? Well, you wouldn't be forcing yourself down a road, would you? You'd be going, hey, okay, well, I'm seeing boredom show up. So what is it here to tell me? What is it here to teach me? Is it here to teach me that this thing needs to be delegated or that this is actually like it's gone as far as it needs to go? But, yeah, like I'm really big on resourceful or unresourceful. So, you know, is it resourceful for you, meaning that it's sustainable, it's growth, it's, you know, something that really lights you up, it's going to, you know, nurture and nourish you, or is it unsustainable? You know, I mean, is it unresourceful? So it's unsustainable. You just can't keep it up. So it sounds like I actually think you're very reflectory and actually more like the reflectors I know, like very, very powerful. Mm. It's just that you're at that time of your life that you want something different.
Yeah. 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 And I think now you're hitting me at an interesting time where I'm like, I don't know what that is. And that's really scary, really scary. So it's been not a fun journey, to say the least.
If you had a magic wand, this is one of my favorite questions. You have a magic wand and you could create anything that you want to create and every single human in your life would be happy, what would you do?
You know, I think that's what scares me is I used to, I love how this podcast became a therapy session. You're welcome, everyone listening. Yeah.
Everyone's going, oh, thank God. This is me.
I know. They're like someone being honest, I guess. Because I think people could see the sparkly accomplishments that people have had and not realize that they go through shit too, right?
We talk about this all the time.
I don't know. I think that's what's really scary is I always was able to answer that. And for the first time, I think that is what's scary is that I don't. that question now is hard for me when it never was hard. And so, I know I really, really, really want to be a mom. And I think that's just taking up a lot of brain space right now. But I know that cannot be my only thing. And so, cause I don't want to put that pressure on making that the only thing. So I think where I'm at is biologically and emotionally trying to, figure out how to maintain joy in the things outside of that until that time comes and when I have children, so I keep a sense of my own identity, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think you're meeting me at an interesting, like, I'm like, I don't know, because it's always been something in work, but for the first time it's not, but I know I still need to, prioritize that. And cause it is something that does bring me a lot of joy. I love helping people. I love serving people. I love creating. I love the show. I love creating funny content. Yeah. I mean, I love creation. I love creating things.
Yeah. So again,
whether it's people or videos, I just want to create things.
Yeah. And I'm sitting in the background just geeking out on your human design again, because in your chart,
I love how you say chart.
Chart. Yeah.
It's so pretty. In your chart.
Thank you for saying it's pretty, because I always hear my accent. I'm like, God, it's so
Australian. No, I sound like a hick. I'm like, my chart.
Love it. Well, you know, you sound awesome to me. I sound awesome to you. It's working out for everybody.
My chart.
So one of the really cool things I want to share with you is you in your chart, you actually have the four gates of the incarnation cross called the Cross of the Sphinx. Now, you don't necessarily have that.
What does this mean?
Yes, but this is the important part, because the Cross of the Sphinx, and when these four gates come together, what the energy that it creates is new direction. And what's really important to understand is that when you feel like you are lost, that you don't know where you're going, that you have no freaking idea, that's because you're just about to pivot. So whenever anyone has this cross, I'm always like, you need to love those moments, because those moments are the time where it's like, you just need to allow things to come in. You need to allow that I don't know, because you're exactly where you need to be, because the pivot, the new direction is just around the corner. And you have the gate one, which when it's in, just seeing whereabouts it is in your chart. Okay. You have the gate one, which, you know, in its shadow, it sounds a little bit what you're talking about. It's like entropy, like it's nothingness, it's no energy, it's there's nothing there. And there's this fear of like, God, will I ever be creative again? But actually it's sitting in that gap. And I think that, again, this happens, like the fact that we're even having this conversation, like I very fundamentally believe in there are no accidents, like certain people come into your life at certain times. Yeah. And I feel like a large part of where you are, like whether that's a line six perspective, like you're in this time, you're exactly where you need to be. And a large part of that is slowing down. So what would, you know, and this isn't for you to have to answer here, but I would just be saying like, well, what does slowing down look like for you? Because you love to do different things and you love to do this. And you love to, but if you were going to create more space in your energy, in your day, like what would that look like for you, and how would you do that? Because this is going to be a time of receivership. Like you've just been out there doing all the things, but now you're at this time where there's more, making more space for things to come to you, because there's a big gap. Like right now there's a gap. You don't know, which is great, because that's where the universe gets in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 That's really interesting. Yeah. I think, yeah, I mean, I've definitely slowed down a lot the last few years, but I think I know now, I can tell the itch is coming back for there to be something, but it's almost going to be in a different way. Like it's going to be in a, it's just going to feel different. Because how I was doing business in the past was like really fun, but it was very, it was like adrenaline, and it was like a little bit, probably a little like almost like chaos under it. Right. But I was like in my 20s and I didn't care. And it was just like very selfish and like whatever. And now it's like, my desires and what I consider success is like so different. And so I think now it's asking myself those different questions of like, what does creation and business and these things look like in addition to a family and these things, and what's sustainable? And yeah, I think it's just, it's a totally different game now, you know? And, I think I resist the pauses a lot, which almost has made it long, probably elongate longer than it needs to be. But if I totally like surrendered to it almost and was just like, okay, what's next? You know, I think that could be helpful.
I think that's beautiful. You know, like I think that, and I just have to say thank you for being so honest, because the thing is that so many people out there are building businesses and creating success. And I'm always banging on about, you have to define success for yourself. You know, you can't live up to someone else's. And I think the beauty for you is that you've been successful in so many different ways. So success tick, you're going to create it. It's giving yourself permission to create it the way you really want to create it. Because often when we're in our 20s, and especially for you being a line six, like you're actually doing things like you were trying stuff out. You were experimenting. You're like, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And now you're in this time where you're just becoming wiser. And, you know, the mum thing, you'll be an epic mother because you're consciously choosing to be a mother because you've had a lot of success already. And I feel like that often makes mums, you know, like they value being a mum so much more because it's not like, but what if, but what if, but what if? You know, so do you know what I want to ask you about? Because I'm really conscious of your time and we've talked so much about your human design and I feel like
you've got so many
stories about anxiety and ADD. And I know there's so many people listening to this podcast that they're like, well, how do I help my kids? How do I help my partner? How do I help the people in my life or myself for that matter? When I'm living with, you know, with these, you know, what's the PC term? Like I was going to say like mental health, like what is the PC term?
Yeah. I guess it's like you mean anxiety basically.
Yeah. Well, mental health. Yeah.
You know, I think it's, I mean like you mean specific tips for someone who's like experiencing themselves like they live with someone who's ADD.
And both. I'd be both. Like, you know, like, cause I know that a lot of parents want to know, like, how can I actually support my kids? Like listening to the way your mom raised you, like she very intuitively knew how to raise you. How can parents raise their kids, when they're, you know, unable to sit still or they're multi-focused?
Yeah. I think it's interesting because I think that first, it's a big like acceptance and allowing them a lot of freedom to what you said, be who they want to be. Because I find that when you suppress it, it actually makes them want to rebel more. And so celebrating their uniqueness and letting them be that way. And I think being curious versus judgmental. And that's something I've learned just reading books about, for my fiance to read about being with somebody who is neurodivergent. You know, a lot of times, a lot of it can be very frustrating, but leading with that curiosity of like, okay, why did they do it that way? I wonder why they put the thing out on the counter like that, or did the dishwasher that way, or like leading with the curiosity first versus like immediate frustration or judgment. Cause I think that especially someone who's neurodivergent living in a household with people who are neurotypical, I assume those neurotypical people I've heard that they just don't get it. Like, they're just like, why would you do that? Why would you do the thing that way? Right. Yeah. And so there's a lot of compassion on their end. And then I think it's so important to, like you said, you did with your children, is to not define them or label them. I think, although obviously you do something that's very like labely, you know, like human design, you are this thing and there's only like a few of them. And even that's, again, you can tell there's part of me that's like, oh, we're just putting people in boxes again. But I don't know. It's almost like, I don't know if I would tell my kid right away if they were ADD. I think I would just kind of like explain to them later, like, hey, you just learn and take in information a little differently. I don't know, because right away, I think that especially in the 90s, it was like, tell your child there's something wrong with them and put them on Ritalin. And that's what you do. And my mom was just like, whoa, hold on. I'm not going to say anything or give her meds. Let me just take a beat and see like how she evolves. Her brain is still growing. Making sure nutrition is a huge part of it. Not eating processed crap. That's not good for the brain. Making sure I was very physically active, always in sports. I think movement is one of the best medicines for the brain, whether it's ADD, anxiety, whatever it is you're going through, even depression, movement. And I think also, like I've mentioned in that episode, I think for me, it's surprise and delight, but I think for ADD people, it's like the dopamine, right? Where it's following the thing that excites you, because usually the thing that's bringing you the most energy is going to be the thing that you're going to be able to execute. And so that's something I'm working on now that hopefully is good for my chart. I don't know, is I'll do this thing where I'm like, I'll sit and think about the decision and I'm like, is this bringing me energy? Is this expansive or is this contractive? And like, I feel like, ooh, and like kind of like low and gross and weird when I think about doing that idea or that thing. And so that's kind of how I do it. I'm like chasing the energy, like what's bringing me energy and what's expansive. And so, I think I love that. Yeah. Yeah. One of my friends
what you just said is that it's like leaning into it. It's like saying to parents, lean in, like let the kids follow, let the kids be excited by things and follow instead of trying to sit them down and lock them into one thing.
Yeah. And I think like, especially when kids are young, like, I don't know, like I'm not a mom yet, but like it kind of frustrates me when moms will be like, my 8-year-old boy is being hyper. It's like, yeah, he's 8. Like he should be climbing trees. It's a boy who's 8 years old. Like he should be eating worms outside doing a backflip, you know? Like, what do you think he's going to do? Like, sit down and like study for 10 hours? Like, he's a kid. Let him be a kid. And I think that's so much of what they did right as well, is like, she let me be a kid. And I think that if you force your child to like, not like let them get that out of their system, like let them run in the backyard and be crazy. And like, I think that, yeah, thank goodness I was in sports and in things that got my body and mind moving together, because that's like huge for me. So, you know, it's a constant thing that I'm working on, because I don't want to medicate, but, I think it is something that I'm always still now as an adult, like, okay, what can I do to improve this right now? What can I put in place so I can optimize this? So it's working
for me. And do
you
meditate?
I just started actually doing Joe Dispenza.
Ah, so yeah, cool.
I'm only on day like five.
Yeah, right.
And I might go to his retreat in Cancun in June, but I haven't. I've always used exercise as my meditation or my walks. I actually am probably doing walking meditation a lot. I go on like 2 hour walks a day just to like process information and get ideas. Yeah. And it's like my sanctuary. So I'm doing it there, but I haven't done a lot of like still sitting down meditation until my brother just got back from Joe Dispenza, the co-founder of Soul, with me. And he was like, you got to start doing this. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this.
It's a game changer.
Every time I do it, I'm like, that's when I got my best idea. Or that's when I like was able to like think through something or process. But then, you know, of course it's more addicting for us to scroll and compare. And that's something that I wanted to ask you about reflectors, is I noticed that, I think this is a reflector thing, is that comparison for me, I feel like, is even slightly harder. Not that I want to like, ooh, it's harder for me, but I think it is slightly harder for me because of that sponge thing we talked about. Because if I scroll within 20 minutes, I am like, oh, like this idea, do this thing, go travel there. She's doing this. Oh, and it's just so much for my brain that I actually don't know then who I am or what I want, because I'm just looking at these other people's lives all day. It's so bad for my brain. So what I'm trying to do is replace that with some meditation. Yeah. And not that I'm never going to scroll, but I'm really trying to have discernment around it, because for some reason it's really hard for me, where I think other people can scroll and just be like, oh, whatever, whatever. I'm like, oh my God. And then I feel like behind, I feel like shit. And then I know people do it with me, but I'm like, it's really difficult in this season of life to not take that in as like, I need to go do that thing. Oh, that's what I should be doing. And I seem to like want, I almost crave it so then I can get the clarity, but I'm like, no, like, it's got to come from you. So I don't know why,
and
that's a struggle
for me.
Because
it's an addiction. So you know that, like, I'm sure you're all over this, that social media, especially all the everything owned by Meta, they actually create the whole thing is to get you addicted to it. It's why things TikTok banned in certain countries because of how damaging it is to the brain. At the end of the day, and one thing I would say, so twofold, I'm going to answer your question. As a reflector, absolutely, because you're feeling into all the things. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, as you're scrolling through, imagine that it's not like your eyes are just scrolling through, that energy is scrolling through your body and you're amplifying and reflecting it back. So you're like, oh, that feels good. Oh God, that doesn't. You know, and what's happening is that you're attaching to those, like, oh, I, so as soon as we use the word I, it's part of our identity. Therefore, our unconscious mind will defend it to the death. Yeah. I should be doing that thing, or and that's where we get tripped up. Doesn't matter what design you are. It's all about your identity. So ultimately, yes, you do feel it a lot because all your centers are undefined, but we all feel that way. So it's something that I do a lot in my community. A lot of the clients that I work with, they have real challenge with comparisonitis.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, social media is created that way. So we do, like, we're addicted to the dopamine, like you're talking about. We're addicted to the dopamine.
Yep.
Everything's set up to respond to the things that matter to us, because obviously it's listening to us. I mean, how many times have you had a conversation about something and then all of a sudden you've delivered an ad? You know, so it's so important, especially for a reflector, like, to understand that that is not you. So the biggest piece that I'm hearing is, like, if you were a client of mine, I'd be like, the first thing you need to work with is understanding that what you feel in so many situations is not yours. So you're scrolling through social media and you're like, wow, that feels like that. That feels like that. Not I feel like this. I feel like that, because that's not actually you. And the thing to understand also as a reflector that I think people get really misled on is that you actually, you are more Teflon than those of us that have undefined centers. Like, your undefined centers aren't as sticky because you're so used to, unconsciously, all this energy moving through you. It's actually easier once you decide to practice, wow, that person feels X. Wow, I can feel it moving through me. When you start to understand that it's not even your energy, therefore you don't identify it, therefore it doesn't become a part of who you are and you need to change it, fix it, upgrade it, downgrade it, whatever, then you can actually let it move through you. And I think that that's probably a lot of where you're going now, you know, and the more spiritual work that potentially that you've been doing, and I'm just saying that because I laugh my ass off at all your spiritual, you know, reels, like, oh my God, it's so funny. It, anyway, but this energy is like, sorry,
energy.
And welcome energy. To, exactly. And what was it? I am blue muffin pineapple something. And I'm like, hilarious. But anyway, the point is that you're now at this time to start to understand. It's like, shit, I don't actually need to act on any of this. Like, it's just energy that's moving through me. Mm. And if you slow down, what's going to happen is that on, let's say, day one of you experiencing something, on day 28, you're going to be like, hey, that something still feels good. That still feels like something that I want in my life. But ultimately, if you rush and jump on all of these things, and I think a lot of that under 30 for a line six operating as a line three, like you've just been like, oh, that feels good. Let's do it. Oh, that feels good. Let's do it. Oh, that feels good. But now you're in this time where you're like, right, actually, I've had all this experimentation and I know how to succeed. So I don't have to worry about success because I know I'm going to find a way. That's my MO. I'm already, you know, the evidence for my brain, it's out there in the quantum reality. Therefore, I already, my frequency is already at a success level. I don't have to worry about that. So now it's all about authenticity. It's about truth. It's about purpose. It's about fulfilling the things that your heart and your soul really want you to do. So this is the time for you just to slow down and be like, yeah, like, don't spend time on social media and spend more time meditating. Because the more, especially with ADD, the more you can build the muscle of stillness and build the muscle of like bringing the mind back to something. Like, you know, I just started Vedic meditation, which is the one with the mantra. And I mean, I've been meditating for 20 years. I started doing it to heal my depression and panic disorder. And it was a fundamental game changer. I'm not good at it, but I do it every day.
How long? Like a few minutes?
So I do 20 minutes in the morning and then I do 20 minutes in the afternoon or at night.
Like guided on a, like you listen to a thing or?
I did a lot of guided for a long time, but not very guided, like just sort of brings you in, then follow your breath and then brings you back out. I use Headspace. But now I do Vedic meditation, which I just trained with Gary Gorrow, who's amazing.
No wonder you look so, well, I assume you're older than me just by math. You look very young and vibrant because you're meditating.
That and a bunch of other stuff. I'm well into biohacking, just putting that out there.
I know, but I've noticed the women who meditate, they just look, they just have a, you know, they just look younger and vibrant.
Well, I just turned 49, so.
No way.
Yeah. But I think much of that is because I do what I love every day. You know, I've learned to trust my body.
Your soul is happy. It's so much more than the physical. I mean, biohacking's great. I've been a biohacker for years, but I'm now realizing that there's only so much of it you can do where
And
it gets obsessive. It gets real obsessive. I'm actually on the other side now where I'm like, wow, I went way too far with biohacking.
I feel the same. And I think what's really interesting is how women are doing it now and how different it is for women to biohack. But anyway.
Yeah. Like I don't cold plunge. I don't intermittent fast. I don't do that stuff anymore.
Yeah. I do all of it, but I do it intuitively. Like I just follow my own body. And I actually was at this retreat where I learned to meditate and they had this guy here and he's spurting out all the research about how, you know, red light saunas and cold plunges. And don't get me wrong. Like I love them and I do them. Yeah. And I'm like, you do realize that all that research is done on men, right? And that actually it's not good for women to be doing all of those things their entire cycle. Like that actually is, in fact, it's putting way too much stress on our body.
Yeah. And it's like, interesting because you're almost 50. So it's like what your body can take and need again is very different than me now in my fertile years.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so I went through early menopause as well. So it's like, burnout, baby. The things that happen when you push yourself too hard.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's crazy. But then could you like fix it? What's the word? Like, were you able to like work with it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, yeah. I think there's a lot of other mitigating factors. Like, I'm a massive believer. I just interviewed Bruce Lipton on the podcast as well.
And, oh, nice.
Like, I'm a massive believer that it all starts here, you know?
Yeah.
And there's definitely things in my life where I was like, and I call it the elephant in the room, that I'm like, I'm just going to leave that elephant in the room and I'm going to focus over here.
Yeah.
And because I didn't deal with the elephant, you know, my body was like screaming at me for years, like, you need to pay attention to this thing.
Wow, I can't wait.
Attention to the thing.
I can't wait for all the wisdom from now till when I'm your age. I'm going to be so wise and so calm and doing my meditation.
Exactly. So just get into the meditation. Trust that, you know, you're the ultimate receiver as well, you know, like, so you don't have to jump into action until you've given it time, until you just.
Yeah. That's kind of what I've always, like, if it keeps coming up, like, I have this idea of this like live event I want to do. And at first it felt very like, erratic pressure, like, oh, should I do it? Because I think I should again, because I used to do really big live events. And now I'm sitting with it, and it's been a few months now where it like keeps coming up. So then I'll be like, okay, this is something I should do. But I almost like wait for it to come up a bunch.
I love it.
Until I'm like, I'm going to put my money or time into this new thing, or not new thing, or thing I'm doing. And so that's funny that I've always kind of naturally done that. I'm like, okay, if I think about it like more than three times, then I'll do it.
I actually have that same, or if the universe brings me something, it's like if someone tells me about a podcast or a book or something three times, like from different things, I'm like, okay, universe, I'm on it.
Oh, that's so funny.
So whenever something comes up three times, I'm like, right, the universe wants me to get onto this thing. So yeah.
Two times, no. Three times, yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm also really lazy. So I kind of like, well, really, really, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Like, she's really being clear.
But, wow, that's so funny.
Anyway, I'm so conscious of your time. I feel like I could talk to you.
Gosh, no, this was so great. I'm like, I just want to talk to you for hours about all this crazy stuff. I love it. It's so fascinating.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like, one of the things I want to say, just circling back to something you said earlier, like, your human design, it's not who we are. It's not our identity.
Yeah.
It's our energetic blueprint, and it's up to us to bring it to life, you know? So you get to be any sort of reflector you want to be, as long as it's resourceful for you. It's same as me. Like, I get to be any version of this chart that I want to be. And, you know, because everyone bangs on about MGs being energizer bunnies, and I am absolutely in all areas of my life a sprinter. So I work my ass off for 3 days, and then I will sit on the couch, eat chips, and watch Ted Lasso over and over and over again. Like, I know I'm good.
I love Ted Lasso. Oh my gosh. Like, such a good show. Makes you feel so good. And is most of your business, is it podcasting, and or what is it that you're, are you able to do it in a few days?
Yeah. So I'm running my mastermind at the moment. I have a membership community, podcast. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just do it over 3 days and, ride my horse, my dressage horse, and sit around and hang out with the kids and hike. And actually, I probably do a lot of hike and surf and all that sort of thing.
Oh, you have such a great work-life balance. You have such a great quality of life, it seems like. I love that. I think that's so great.
Taken me years, but thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Did you have that when you first had your kids? Were you like, okay,
Oh, my God. So when I had my first son, I was doing depression, had panic disorder. I was like, it was the worst time of my life. And as an MG, like, I'd gone from a very successful advertising career into doing a bunch of different things, like running a dressage property where we were breeding warm bloods, working my parents both in advertising. They retired and bought a cafe. Like, what were they thinking? Anyway, when I was
pregnant. And how old were you at the time? Is this about 30?
30. So this is 30. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I was working in the kitchen. I was a chef when I was pregnant with my first son.
Oh,
I remember
so cool.
I would burn my belly on the hot plate, like, ow, you know, because I just, anyway. But yeah, ultimately, like, and when I had both my kids, like, I look back and go, oh, thank God. I mean, thank God I have the tools to help them with the things, because it was hard and babies weren't easy for me. It wasn't something that I was naturally good at. You know, one of my dearest friends is pregnant right now. My eldest son is like, he cannot wait to hold that baby and to babysit it. I'm like, it's going to be really cute. Come to me when it's a teenager, because teenagers are my thing. But like, babies and toddlers, I'm like, it's just not my thing. My two were my thing. And I was that mum that my second child
And what, they were, what, 3 years apart? 4 years apart?
Four. Okay. Yeah, I actually lost one in between. Like, I had a miscarriage in between the two of them. But I'm convinced, again, I've had all this crazy woo-woo stuff. I'm sure it was Oscar, my second son. He was meant to come in 2 years earlier, but I just wasn't in a mental place. And I feel like my body just went, nope, we're not ready for this.
Nope.
But yeah, you're like, you're going to be epic as a mom. Yeah. You know, as long as you know that ultimately you will fuck them up. There will be things that you get wrong. Like, ultimately you will. But if you are honest and you love them and you say sorry when you make a mistake, and you tell them, like your mom also said, like, tell them that you love them just because you love them. And yeah, you just work it out, you know?
Yeah. You just everyone else figures it out. I'll figure it out.
Exactly. You'll be epic.
Yeah. And just want to be a sponge who does a new thing all the time, you know? Yeah. So.
And don't be a sponge. Like, break that sponge. I don't
You know what? I'm not a sponge. I'm not. I have control over my
life. Keep going. Like, take it in, sure, but let it keep going. You know, like,
yeah, well, that's so that's dismissive to say I'm a sponge. I'm stronger than a sponge.
Yeah. But I think, you know, one of the things, and again, I really have to let you go, but one of the things is, like, remember that your language is creating your reality. So in the book, Letting Go, which is one of my favorite books on the planet.
Ooh, I'm writing this down.
Yeah. By Dr. David Hawkins. So that my other favorite that he wrote is Power versus Force. It'll change your life.
Letting Go.
It'll also
okay.
calm you down with really understanding what's going on in the world right now. But he talks about, like, his statement is, remember that the unconscious mind has no sense of humor. So when we are self-deprecating, our unconscious mind is like, oh, we're an idiot. Oh, we're stupid. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So we treat out, then we end up doing behaviors. We follow through with the behaviors that are low self-worth, that we don't love ourselves because, you know, that's what we're telling ourselves. And in Australia, like, we have a real issue with comedians.
Oh, I was going to say, wait, this is like, I'm like, wait, how does this work then with a comedian? Are we all just the self-deprecation is obviously what I love to do. Are we all just then, I don't know. I feel like your brain has a separation, right? Come on.
Sometimes. Yeah. Like, how much do you believe it? You know, like, if you just.
Yeah. I guess it's the intention behind it. Like, when I'm filming, I know when I'm like, okay, I'm obviously not a bimbo, but like, I'm acting like one or whatever, you know? But that is interesting. I wonder if there is a level of like, it starts to, I don't know. That'd be interesting to study. Wait, you guys don't like comedians in Australia?
Oh my God. No, we're the funniest people ever. But it's all self-deprecating. So many of them have mental health issues.
Oh yeah. Well, that's very common.
And then they end up, you know, making jokes about their mental health issues. And
That's common here. A lot of really, really big comedians on Netflix, they all usually drugs are huge in the comedy space. It's very rare that I became a very funny person and it didn't come from, I don't think a lot of like trauma, pain and drugs, but that is usually the common path of like, this is how I'm going to process this pain is through making other people laugh, you know?
Yeah.
But that's interesting. I've heard that in Australia, you guys have this thing where you have like, but you almost don't have the other side of it where it's like, what is it called? Tall poppy syndrome, where you can't like
so much tall poppy syndrome.
You can't almost do the opposite of self-deprecation, which is like self-confidence.
Oh, and we like for years, again, that's something I work with my clients all the time, like tall poppy syndrome, you know? Yeah. Because we're kind of,
we do not have that here.
No, you guys do not have that. I work with a lot of Americans and they're like, what's tall poppy? What now? I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, in Australia, like especially women. You know, like it's something that I've dealt with extensively. Like I've really had to be like, I would constantly tell myself like back in your box chocolate, you know, you're too much, stop it. Da, da, da. Like it's because we have this our culture is very much about camaraderie. It's about, you know, it's built off the back of these, you know, people called the Anzacs, which it was an awful experience where all these men got gunned down in the Second World War. But so we're all like shoulder to shoulder. So we have this whole shoulder to shoulder thing. And we actually had a very, a hugely successful Australian comedian who had like you guys would have a Tonight Show.
Yeah.
Rove McManus. And he was huge here. He was really successful. He broke all the rules. And then he went for the job of one of the late night talk shows over there. Who got it? What's the English guy's name?
Ricky Gervais. No,
the other guy that used to do the in the car interviews.
Jerry Springer or not? No, Jerry.
Why can't I think of his name?
Jerry Seinfeld?
No. Oh my God. Anyway, he used to do like, it's really going to annoy me. Come on, universe, just drop it in. Anyway, so anyway, Rove McManus was going all, wow, you know, all for it. And then tall poppy syndrome got him. Like the Australian public turned on him. Like you're too big for your boots. You can't do that. Blah, 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 blah. Yep. And then poof.
This is so weird to me. I can't even understand it. I'm like, what do you mean? Yeah. People would want other people to be.
Yeah. It's changing now. It's definitely changing. Like the younger generations, you know, it's kind of, I think it really, was still really big with my, so the Gen X. But now, like I look at my kids and there's still a bit of it, but it's certainly not what it was.
But then our American or Australian kids, are they listening to like the girls there? It seems like they like listen to my show. Like they listen to like American personal development and stuff. So they're well, getting that sense of that, right?
Everyone who's in. So one of the things with Australia is like, we're really early adopters. So especially with tech or anything like that.
Wellness.
And wellness is huge. Like, so I just went to see, Huberman. He was here live. And he was saying that his, like his biggest downloads for the podcast, and he sells the most products, sold the most tickets is in Sydney. You know, like Australia is, we're all over wellness. We're all over these things. So I think that one of the things, and my COO, Taylor, she's American, and we always have this laugh, like Australians love Americans' confidence. Cause if we're in this personal development place, we're like, yeah, okay, give it. But like, we'll go and we'll see Tony Robbins and be like, oh God, that's way too much. Like, oh God, like back the truck up, you know? So we're in and we're like, oh, we get it. We get that we have to stop doing this, but we also are a little bit like, ooh, like calm your jets, mate. Like that's a bit much. Oh, I love Tony Robbins, but so there's this balance, this real balance for Australia.
Now I'm going to be up studying tall poppy syndrome. Like this is so fascinating to me.
Anyway, I've got to let you go.
It's so good.
Thank you so, so much.
Yes, of course.
We're going to put all the links for the podcast, for your Instagram, and of course for these incredible Soul products. Like,
For any of the American people listening, go check out Soul at getsoul.com for sure. And if you're Australian, I don't know, DM me. Maybe I can ship you a shoebox of it, but I got to figure out how to get it to you.
But they are fantastic. And I'm one of my things this year is I've always been a good sleeper, but I need to be better because ever since kids, I'm like hair wire, like all of a sudden, boom, I'm up. Whereas I used to be able to sleep through anything. So these have been so incredible with helping me just calm my big MG energy, calm it down and actually, you know, go to sleep faster than an hour. So thank you. I really, really appreciate them.
Oh, thank you so much. This was so fun. I feel like this was so healing and fascinating and just like, just all of the things. It was just, I'm just going to go study. Well, I'm not going to study reflector. I don't need, I can
just,
you gave me some good notes to start with. I feel like it might overwhelm me if I,
at the end of the day, just do you. You've already had so much success in your life. Yeah. Like now you just choose different success. Like what's success now? Success is time and space and, you know, letting your nervous system calm down so it can grow a baby and all of those things. Like you're just a rock star. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. So fun. Really, thank you, Emma.
I really appreciate the fact that you've been so honest and you've shared all of this with the listeners because we do talk a lot here on this podcast about, you know, like what it looks like on the outside versus what it feels like on the inside. Like these listeners have heard about me burning out over and over again, like, whoops, I've done it again. So look, I really, really appreciate you. Thank you so much for your time. And I know I've gone over. So yeah, thanks for being here.
Of course. Thank you so much, Emma. So fun.
And thanks everyone else for listening. I really appreciate you being here. I trust you got what you needed from today's episode and I look forward to having you on the next one. Bye for now. Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.